We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey guys, time to get in on the action for the biggest moments in basketball with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projections, place your entry, and win up to 100 times your money. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit of up to $100. Just download the Prize Picks app and use the code GET100. That's code GET100 on Prize Picks for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Welcome to Red Leg Nation Radio, your home for discussion and analysis of Cincinnati Reds baseball all year long. Now here's your host, Chad Dotson.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Red Leg Nation Radio. This is episode number 369 of the world's most dangerous podcast. I'm your host, Chad Dotson. With me again this week, Chris Garber. How are you today, Chris?
I am doing very well, Chad. Thank you very much.
Can I ask you a question, Chris?
Please.
Here's my question. You've been a Reds fan for a long time, and in fact, you're what I would call a Reds historian because you've written a book about the Cincinnati Reds. Has there ever been a week in the history of the Cincinnati Reds franchise, and they've been around for a while, has there ever been a week that was more fun than the week we just experienced?
There may have been, but this is pretty fun. Coming off a time when at least among you and me, the expectations were pretty low. So I'm pleased to be so far wrong about the 2021 Reds.
Keep it coming. Keep it coming. Yeah. So, the baseball season started this week. Actually, you know, opening day was last week and Jason Linden and I did the podcast after the opening day game, and the Reds lost on opening day, and you know it was an ugly performance. They were down 6-0 after the first inning, 7-1 after two innings, and we were, you know, everyone in Red Leg Nation, I guess, would be justified in saying, "Here we go again." And Jason and I tried to make the case. You know what? Come on, it's just one game, and the Reds did score 6 runs, and you know this team is not awful. They may not be the best team in the league, but they're not awful. So let's tap the brakes a little bit, and then the Reds proceeded for the rest of the week to play like the best team on earth. I mean, how surprised were you by this week? And give me your reactions to the week that was.
You know, it's I am surprised. It's obviously in any you know week of baseball, any 6-game sample. It's not that unusual for a team that's, you know, we predicted to be barely, you know, around a 500 team to go 5-1 instead of 3-3, you know, but they've looked like a juggernaut. I mean, they haven't won a couple easy games. They've got the best run differential in the league by a long way. And that's with Amir Garrett giving up 4 runs in the last inning that they played.
Yeah. It's just, it was the weirdest week. I mean, you know, obviously, we've talked about how you can't draw too many conclusions from that 60-game season, but the fact of the matter is, for 62 games, we watched a team that could not score. Just absolutely could not score. And 62 games is not, you know, a 3-game series. That's a lot of games. And for them to come out of the gates like this, it's just, it's astounding to me. Let's sort of set what we're talking about. As we record this, the Reds are 5-1. after that opening day loss. They've not lost since the last time we did a podcast. If they just don't lose between podcasts, this is going to be a good team. 5-1, a game ahead of St. Louis in the standings. And just to kind of run through the week, after that 11-6 loss, they won 9-6 on day two against St. Louis and then won the series by a big 12. And we're going to get into what happened in that St. Louis series because that's the most interesting stuff of the week. But 12-1 win to win the series. And then a sweep of the hapless Pittsburgh Pirates, which included 14-1 and 11-4 victories in the last two games. I mean, it's just, it wasn't that they were winning one-run games. They were just absolutely, they looked, this is ridiculous, but I'm going to say it because I've said ridiculous things many times on this podcast. They looked like the Big Red Machine. They were overpowering everybody since that opening game. And it was just, it was crazy. I don't know how to explain it. It was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure where Tyler Naquin fits in the great eight, but but yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun to watch guys, you know, beat the daylights out of the ball. I mean, they've already had 65 hits, and I don't know how long it would take them to get 65 hits last year, but probably at least a week.
6 weeks, probably. Yeah, let's put some historical context to what we're talking about. The Reds have scored, and Chris mentioned the run differential. Now, let me ask you this first. The Reds are, I think, plus 31 in their run differential. Chris, is this like European soccer where, like, if you tie at the end of the year, your goal differential is what moves you on to the Champions League? Is that how that works? I'm not sure.
I don't believe it is.
Oh. No,
I don't think that's the case. So you don't get any extra points for scoring more runs, but it's just more entertaining.
It is more entertaining. Here's how entertaining for the Reds. 57 runs scored through the first six games. That is the most for any team this century. 1999 Indians scored 58. So that's the last time someone scored that many through six games. It's the most for any National League team since 1962. And the 57 runs scored through the first six games, the most in Cincinnati Reds franchise history. 132 seasons.
Wow.
The Reds have had champions. They've had literally one of the dynasties. That's the most through first six games that any Reds team has scored. Come on. This is silly. There's no way this is true. And again, I'm not saying they're the best team in Reds history, obviously, but what? That's the only thing I can say is it's, how?
Well, I'm playing the Pirates three times, I suppose.
That's most true.
Of it.
Well, I scored, 30 runs in three games against the Pirates. That'll do it.
Yeah, but that Sunday, that Easter Sunday game against the Cardinals, that may be the most surprising one, I guess, of all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. You know, we can get into it however you want, but that was not what I expected them to do after Saturday's shenanigans.
That is a great context because, you know, I hadn't really thought about it in these terms, so I'm kind of working this out in my head as we talk. But the last time around, when it was the Reds and the Cardinals, the Reds kind of shrank from the Cardinals. The last time they had these kind of, tempers flaring. And we'll talk about exactly what happened. But let's go ahead and talk about it now. In that second game of the season, the Reds, of course, as we said, lost 11-6 on opening day. Game two, they won 9-6. But what was the most interesting about it was benches emptied.
A fracas?
It was a fracas. So, I guess on opening day, Nick Castellanos hit a home run because evidently that's what Nick Castellanos does.
It's all he does.
And he did a bat flip and kind of danced down to first base. Oh, that's pretty cool. I like that stuff. I don't know. Are you anti bat flip?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I am 100% pro bat flip. I am pretty much in favor of almost all, demonstrations by players. The only ones that kind of got me a little bit, about it was there's a couple of these college players now, these college pitchers, mm-hmm. who are like doing this bit where they stare down the dugout after they strike somebody out and kind of do a little Brad the Animal Leslie act at the same time. Like, that's probably a bit too much to me. Like, I don't like it when it's aimed at a guy, aimed at an opponent. But if somebody wants to celebrate their own or the team's success, have at it. Good for you.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. I'm all for let the kids play. Isn't that what MLB told us?
At one point,
yeah.
That's what they said.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So anyway, bottom of the fourth in game two. Reds are 0-1 on the season. Literally winless on the season. Now, they did score 6 runs in the third inning, so they're on their way. But in the bottom of the fourth, Nick Castellanos gets plunked, hit by a pitch. That's what plunked means. He got hit by a pitch.
And named after former Major League pitcher Eric Plunk.
Exactly. So Castellanos, like, picks the baseball up and, like, offers it back to the pitcher. I mean, he clearly wasn't happy about getting hit by a pitch. Is that what you understood from that?
Yeah. And so I was driving back from vacation during this, listening to this game in the car. So I had the Tommy Thrall and Jeff Brantley version of this. I didn't see anything until much later. So, you know, the radio announcers basically were surmising that that Castellanos was not hit on purpose because Jake Woodford couldn't throw a strike. They didn't mention the opening day home run at all. And they did mention that he was offering the ball back, and I think Brantley said something like, "Yeah, pitchers don't like that."
As Brantley would know, I guess.
Right. And then the interesting thing about that story was they said Yadier Molina's out there trying to calm everybody down.
That's a first.
He said, right, and then, you know, then it kind of led into, you know, Yadier Molina, elder statesman of baseball.
Oh,
and gosh. And again, I've never seen a guy for whom the story less matches the evidence than Yadier Molina.
Right. You're not a fully paid member of the Yadier Molina fan club, I've noticed.
No, but I'll give you this. Yadier Molina did not take the bait to pile on me when given it about 6,000 times. So I'll at least give him that. I'll give him at least that much credit.
Yeah, you'll have to go back in the archives to listen to what that story is all about. But okay, so later in the inning, Nick Castellanos comes around and scores on a wild pitch because, Yadier Molina can't catch. And so he's sliding home. And this pitcher, whose name is all of a sudden escaping me.
Woodford.
You just said it. Woodford. I was thinking Wooderson, but that's somebody else, right?
That's what I was thinking, too. Yeah. Woodford. Pickford and Wooderson are two characters in the same movie.
All right. So it seemed to me that Woodford tagged. He kind of landed on Castellanos' back. Castellanos is safe at home.
It was very much a Ray King.
Yeah.
If he had been as fat as Ray King, it could have been as bad as that incident with Austin Kearns 15, 16 years ago.
That effectively, it didn't end Austin Kearns' career, but maybe ended his opportunity to become a star. I think we agree.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think Woodford did anything on purpose. I think, you know, he was trying to catch a high throw, lean down, put on a tag, and he kind of got tripped over Castellanos sliding head first. Like, I don't think he was trying anything there, but it's like a loose ball in basketball. Sometimes the guy ends up on your back and you're not real thrilled about it.
Well, you know, that's a great point, because I think you're absolutely right. I don't think he meant to tag Castellanos or land on his back, but I mean, it was a lot of contact. But I do not think it was intentional, as much as I would love to ascribe, bad intentions to a Cardinals player. So Castellanos safe. He gets up, and it's like the picture that you've all seen already. I'm not telling anybody, but it was kind of glorious. He like this. He flexes over top of Woodford or Wooderson or whoever, and it was like that was the moment where the switch flipped, and the Reds decided that they were going to be bat flipping, showboating son of a guns in Amir Garrett's the parlance of Amir Garrett's times. It was crazy. So, you know, bench is clear. And then maybe you can explain this to me. We find out later. Castellanos is ejected, first of all. No one else in this mess is ejected. And then Castellanos is suspended for 2 games and no one else. Now, how does Castellanos, maybe you can describe to us, because you've seen it at this point, what Yadier Molina does in the aftermath. Castellanos flexes and then walks off the field.
Promptly walks away. Like, literally, right. You know, it was like one flex,
and
three words.
He says that he said, "Let's effing go."
Let's effing go. And he goes. And as he's probably takes two steps, Molina, which, you know, I'm not going to fault Molina for running over there. Truthfully, like every catcher is going to try to protect his pitcher. And
right.
And you've seen the picture. Woodford looks like a kid just got sand kicked in his face at the beach.
I feel bad for him in some ways.
You know, he's totally defenseless. He's like sitting like practically crisscross applesauce on home plate.
And he's in that picture forever.
Really, really big dude, like flexing over him in kind of an irrational way. So fine, Molina comes over. But like I said, Castellanos is gone, and Molina grabs him by the back of the neck, by the trapezius, right? Gets a handful of shoulder and neck, and it looks like he's trying to pull some sort of Vulcan nerve pinch on Castellanos. And then to do this, he has to kind of shoulder the umpire out of the way. To get between, you know, because the umpire is running Castellanos out of the area too. So Molina's screaming and grabbing this guy by the back of the shoulder. And meanwhile, Mike Maddox, the pitching coach for the Cardinals, is come over the boards and is charging out on the field too. And then once we get to this point, then, you know, everybody has to come out and mill around for a little while. And you have a fracas.
Is it bad that I enjoy that when that happens, when these benches clear and the bullpen's empty? I feel like a 10-year-old kid all of a sudden again. I'm like, all right, this is great.
I think intellectually I know it's stupid.
Right.
I know there are adults who ought to act better. I know that it's also even stupider is that nobody's doing anything most of the time. They're just like pretending to do things. Hold me back. Right. But a couple years ago, when Amir Garrett went into the Pirates dugout,
it's amazing.
I was screaming in my house at whatever 10 o'clock at night, whenever it was. I think I woke up everybody in the house like hooting and hollering because I was so excited.
Don't you feel like a 10-year-old again at that point?
Oh, I do. I feel like I did when I was, 15 or 16 or 13 when the Reds fought the Mets.
Ah, yes. Oh, I had tickets to that game. Did I ever tell you about that story?
That story's in the book.
Oh, did it make in the book?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've not read that book.
I don't know about your ticket story, but how you were going to come? It was like a Wednesday night, wasn't it?
It was something. I don't know. But my dad had tickets. We were there. We were in town, and he just decided, nah, let's just go on home. And he gave the tickets to some guy in the hotel parking lot.
Did you guys go up on top of that circular rotating restaurant over in Kentucky?
No, I wish. Good time.
For a guy who like made all that effort to come to those games, you had some bad experiences.
Yeah. Really, man? You're gonna talk Wayne Krenchicki tonight? Really? Oh. Best week in Reds history, and you're gonna talk Wayne Krenchicki?
What else would you talk about in the best week in Reds history?
This is literally the best week in Reds history. I don't know what you're talking about, man. You're talking about 1983. Get out of here. All right, so Castellanos. Nick Castellanos. So the great picture. It's fantastic. It's on T-shirts. It's all over. You know, it's going to be on the Holy Grail, on the wall at the Holy Grail. By the way, the Holy Grail, mocking me on Twitter this week. Did you see that?
No. Tell me about this.
I was being, hyperbolic as I tend to do on Twitter. And then Holy Grail's like, oh, man, it looks like a success of Reds ownership. After I've been hammering Reds ownership all.
It wasn't a one-off. Like they're familiar with your body of work.
Exactly right. They've been paying attention.
Well, that's fair.
It is fair. Completely fair. I think concede.
Yeah. After that game, I mean, so they interviewed the umpire. And they're like, well, why'd you throw out Castellanos? And they're like, well, he violated the COVID protocol. And you're not allowed to get too close to somebody else when you don't have any kind of business being there. And you're also not allowed to, like, cause any trouble, I guess. What do they call it? Cause any, whatever. You're not allowed to rile people up.
I think that's what it says. You're not allowed to rile people up.
What was it? Aggressive confrontation.
Something I think like that's that. Yeah, it.
That was the phrase. And then, so the natural question they asked the umpire is like, well, okay, well, what about Molina?
Right.
And they're like, well, sometimes the contact isn't aggressive. And the only thing I can think about that stupid statement is that. The umpire thought they were asking about Molina bumping into him.
Right, which wasn't an intentional, like, Pete Rose bumping into,
Dave Pallone.
Dave Pallone, right.
Yeah, that's all I can think about. Like, they somehow just forgot that Molina aggressively confronted Castellanos and moved into a non-socially distant manner to grab him in the Vulcan neck pinch.
Yeah, I mean, I can kind of buy the whole, we got these COVID rules, you know, and you know, that's, I can buy that argument for why Castellanos, you know, might have gotten ejected. I still don't know about the suspension, but still, I can mentally work my brain around it. But there's no justification for Molina not getting...
Well, especially this, like, again, maybe the ump didn't, like, kind of realize it or something in the moment, but when they get the next day and they watch the video and they're like, well, this guy's definitely getting suspended for two games. The other guy, no, what do you mean? I don't see him doing anything.
Right. They got the video that we watched.
Presumably, there's no other angle that shows, you know, that it was an optical illusion that Molina's fingernails into Castellanos' neck.
Right. The picture that's going around is kind of startling. And yeah, so Castellanos gets suspended and no one else. And Castellanos really did. I mean, it was something that happens in every NBA game every single night. Let's go, you know, flex and move off. And sometimes maybe there's a technical foul called.
This is a technical foul in college football for sure. This is unsportsmanlike conduct, taunting.
15-yard penalty.
15-yard penalty. Fine, move on. And like, if ejection is the only like analog you have to an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, which it's not. But if it is,
right?
Because that's what Brantley was saying. Well, Castellanos will probably get fined, but he's not going to get ejected because he didn't do anything to get ejected. And then, you know, 10 minutes later, well, I guess Castellanos isn't coming back out.
Right. Yeah, just kind of outrageous. But so he has been suspended. He's appealed that. So we'll see what happens on that. But as of this time, he's still under that suspension, and they'll have a hearing. So. After the game, listen, you know, this is so easy to kind of overstate these things because we do it all the time. And sports fans are always looking for, oh, here's the moment where it all turns around, where, you know, this is going to be what sends them off on a big run. But
momentum.
And listen, you know, it's ridiculous almost all of the time. But I don't, and I know it's ridiculous what I'm getting ready to say, but after the game, Castellanos has this quote. Look, I ain't out here to talk about me. I don't know if I'm a leader. I damn sure ain't a follower, but that's not for me to say, you know, it's for those guys to say what I am. And then he says, I'm not here to disrespect nobody or whatever. I want to win. I've lost my whole career and I ain't trying to start the season 0-2. That, again, not the best grammar, but.
No, it's not. It's kind of like, honestly, like, I know he's not the same kind of like person with the press, and the grammar is abysmal, but it's kind of like there's a lot of Pete Rose in that series of quotes in my opinion.
Yeah, but now listen, if the Reds go off and have a, you know, a year where they really compete for the playoffs, this quote, I ain't trying to start the season 0-2, this is going to become a flashpoint, and Castellanos is going to become like a Greg Vaughn type figure.
Oh, yeah.
In Reds history, right? Can you see that? Mm-hmm. I ain't trying to start the season. I want to. Now, did you see Castellanos' interview the next night?
Was that when he was talking about getting Molina's jersey or something?
No. That was the same night. He was talking about, I don't know. Yeah. I don't understand that. But after the 12-1 victory in game three of the series, where the Reds won the series 2-1, Jim Day interviewed him on the field. And I'm always disappointed when Jim Day's interviewing anyone other than Eugenio Suarez, because he's just so delightful.
Jim Day.
Yeah. Good question, Jim Day. Every answer ends up with Jim Day. But he interviewed Castellanos, and I think he'd gotten some flack, maybe. I don't know if flack's not the right word, but his
grief.
Maybe some grief, but you know, all the stuff he was saying about the day before got a lot of play. And it was the weirdest conversation, because every question he was like answering 1 to 3 words. I mean, it had serious I'm just here so I don't get fined vibes. It was really bizarre, you know. And I don't know what to make of it, because I don't know. The day before, he was like, you know, puffing his chest out.
Yeah.
So
maybe he knew he was kind of under investigation. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw David Bell's quote or statement or whatever that he issued like in a a beautifully like passive aggressive statement that he issued.
Was, yeah.
Like I trust the league will take appropriate steps so that players and teams do not have to take action on their own to defend themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, he's used to his teams getting, you know, plunked.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I mean, I mean, honestly, I'm so glad, like my stress level at watching baseball is so much lower when Clint Hurdle is not in the National League.
Right.
I mean, they would have thrown at Castellanos on game one of that series.
No question.
Guaranteed. Just because he had done something that they didn't like feel was appropriate. It had nothing to do with the Pirates, but he did something on Saturday against a different team. Let's throw at him.
Well, he broke the unwritten rules. And, you know, the Cardinals with Yadier Molina, they're the number one fun police. But Clint Hurdle, man, former Pirates manager Clint Hurdle. Yeah, absolutely. But what was fun was the Cardinals or the Pirates do come to town after the Reds beat the Cardinals. And a lot of people are saying the Cardinals are the team to beat in the National League Central, which I see. Nolan Arenado looks good in a Cardinals uniform, unfortunately. But then the Pirates come to town, and you know, game one's a 5-3 win, really good come from behind win. Amir Garrett gets the save in that one. First, the only save of the year for a Reds pitcher. And maybe we'll talk about the bullpen in a moment because the bullpen's been awfully good. But then 14-1 and 11-4 victories to sweep the Pirates. And it's just, you know, I don't know. I didn't see it coming given the fact that. Let's think about the last 3 years. Last year, 60-game season, the Reds started 1-4. And we talked all preseason about how short season, they got to start quick if they want to be. And they didn't start quick. And they scuffled all year until the last 10 days. 2009. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, if I had told you that Wade Miley, Sal Romano, and Carson Fulmer would combine for a 9 innings of one-run baseball, you wouldn't have believed me?
I would not have invited you back on the podcast, no. So last year, 2019, right before that, a 1-8 start. In 2018, oh my gosh. I had almost put this out of my head. Do you remember what the Reds started in 2018?
3-18?
3-18.
Yeah, my royalty statements remind me of that every time we get one.
Oh, that's right. We really needed the Reds to get off a good start to sell books, didn't we?
Yeah, well, so much for that.
Stupid Reds.
YOLO.
Oh, well, whatever. So, you know, I didn't anticipate a 5-1 start. All right, we got a ton of questions to answer. Let's run through quickly some of the news of the week. We don't have to give too much analysis here. Sonny Gray is, you know, supposedly going to be back sometime soon. He's pitching at the alternate site and whatever, but he's getting healthy. But the Reds went 5-1, and Sonny Gray didn't pitch. As a matter of fact, the Reds were 4-1 before the last game, and they had won 4 games. The only one they lost was Luis Castillo's garbage start. Who saw that coming?
Yeah, if you had said Castillo was going to have an ERA of whatever 16 or whatever it was, and the Reds were going to be 4-1, I would have not believed it.
No, never.
But, you know, I didn't know how good Jeff Hoffman is going to be.
Exactly. Now, have they already given Jeff Hoffman the Cy Young, or we still have to wait for that?
Yeah, it's between him and Darvish.
Right. The other bit of news from the week that I did want to make sure we highlighted was that Shogo Akiyama, he is, you know, he's been hurt. He's at the alternate site and evidently doing well, but looks like mid-May is when Shogo Akiyama, easy for me to say, could rejoin the Reds. Now, the reason I want to bring that up is to sort of lead into a conversation about which players really, you know, impressed this week. And the one you got to talk about is Tyler Naquin, the 30-year-old outfielder this year. And, you know, everybody keeps talking about his because Jesse Winker was sick much of the week. So everybody's asking me, you know, is Jesse Winker or Shogo Akiyama? Who's getting Wally pipped here by Tyler Naquin, who 4 home runs matching his output from last season. 13 RBIs to lead the National League. I mean, have you ever seen anything like this kid? He's not a kid.
He's no Tuffy Rhodes, but, I mean, I'll take it. You know what I mean? I mean, he's not a terrible player. You know, he's not going to – the power is obviously not real, but he's a fine fifth outfielder for this team. And that's the trick with the fifth outfielder, right? They're going to have hot streaks and they have cold streaks, but they're not going to get to play through all of them. So if they happen to hit a hot streak when they're needed, then you're in real good shape, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Naquin, obviously, Reds acquired him from Cleveland, and his rookie year is the most games he's played. 116 games as a 25-year-old, and he finished third in rookie of the year voting, and really an outstanding season.
And that was the World Series season, right?
Right, exactly. And so just really, really good. And he's been basically hurt ever since, as far as I've been able to discover. And so, you know, some talent there, but just, you know, injury issues. And golly, he came out when the Reds needed him because, again, Shohei Akiyama's hurt. Jesse Winker, flu-like symptoms, hasn't played. As Senzel, you know, got hurt on day one, but came back pretty quickly, which,
whew, yeah, I mean, he's played in every game.
Right. So, yeah. The game he was, after he got hurt, he was forced back into action, really. And you talk about fifth outfielders, but you know what? The other guy in that mix, Aristides Aquino, a couple of long bombs. I mean, you know, he's done what Aquino does. It's going to be an interesting decision the Reds have to make when Akiyama comes back. And, you know, maybe Naquin falls back to earth. Maybe Aquino, you know, who knows?
It's possible Nick Senzel might get hurt.
How dare you? How dare you say that about Red Leg Nation Radio's favorite song?
I mean, or anybody could get hurt.
Yeah, that's true.
Juanito could get hurt.
No, let's not wish that on him. But yeah, that reminds me of the old saying: "Who's it, Calvin Coolidge or somebody? If you got 10 problems rolling down the road at you, just wait. 9 of them are going to roll into the ditch. Don't let's not worry just yet about."
The older I get, the more truth there is in that statement.
For the youngsters out there listening, as if there were anyone under 50 listening to this podcast. It really is. That's a life lesson. It's really true.
It is. Don't do anything unless you have to.
Yeah, don't waste time worrying about stuff unless you. All right. So, great.
I mean, here, let me say one more thing. Like, the interesting thing, and I certainly would not have predicted this the last time you and I talked, is that Kyle Farmer has the second least at bats on the team.
Yeah, he had a good double.
Yeah, yesterday. But I mean, you know, we were worried that Kyle Farmer was going to be exposed and starting every day and playing shortstop not that long ago. And, you know, they've kind of worked him in. He's somehow played 5 games, but he only has 9 plate appearances. So,
which is what a Kyle Farmer should do.
So that's a kind of Kyle Farmer usage I can get behind.
Well, yeah, let's dive into that just a little bit, because the last time we discussed it, it was before the Reds had moved Eugenio Suarez to shortstop, and so we were concerned, shall we say.
Panicked
might be the right word. Now, Suarez has not hit yet, and I'm not worried about Suarez. He'll hit.
He hasn't fielded yet either.
And that's the thing. He's been playing shortstop and 3 errors in the first 4 games.
Kind of putting up a Kyle Farmer performance.
I guess if you look up after a week,
he's 1-11 and not really fielding too well. Shortstop.
He's had some trouble turning the double plays. And I mean, it'll take him some time, I guess, but he does not look like a shortstop so far, does he?
No.
But we knew that was going to happen, I guess. But
that's okay. I mean, that's the deal. Like, you do this sometimes. Like, it's the least of the evils. You get Jonathan India playing, who I'm about to be convinced on him.
We're going to have that conversation in a second. I have to, because everybody's hammering me about it. But I've had some people coming at me like, what's the deal with Suarez? Is he ever going to hit again? He was awful last year, is what people are saying. I'm like, no, at the end of the year, he came back around, and, you know, he quit drinking beer. He just needs to get back to drinking beer, and he'll be fine.
I like to drink beer.
Ooh, I've heard that in a Supreme Court nomination fight at one time or another. So, so now we're not worried about Suarez's bat, right?
Learned hand, I think.
Learned hand. Are we worried about Suarez's bat? The answer's no, right?
No, the answer's no.
Exactly. Are we worried about his glove? Yes, but we were before.
I'm not even worried about it. I'm just hanging on anything out of it.
Yeah, it is what it is.
4E20.
Oh, yikes. So, all right, anyway. So, let's see. Who else do we want to, you know what? Well, actually, you mentioned Senzel a moment ago. Let's mention Senzel.
Love it.
Started that first couple games not great, then got hurt, and everybody's like, oh, here we go. But, you know, you look up at the
end. You know what? It was so it was so much of an overreaction, I was throwing out names like Massett and Marshall.
You know that I'm a Senzel fan. And you're a Senzel fan as well, but
I'm a Senzel fan.
But, you know, I'm
I tend to get a little I'm probably low man on Senzel's durability right now.
Well, look, in all fairness, he got hurt in the fourth inning on opening day.
I mean, there's a definite here we go again deal going on.
Yeah.
Here.
But he comes back and, you know, he's played six games, he's hitting .357, you know, he's getting on base, he's, you know, got a double and a triple and just athletic as can be. And, you know, we caught some glimpses this week of the guy. Maybe he hears Jonathan India, you know, creeping up on him. But we saw some glimpses this week. So, you know, fingers crossed. But he looked okay, right?
Yeah. I mean, how do I say this without sounding like a total jerk? I don't see a number two overall pick when I watch him.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I still haven't seen that.
I agree. We've not seen it.
You know, now that was a god-awful draft. So you can't point to, like, Derek Jeter that, you know, yeah, was missed in that draft. But
who got picked ahead of him is, like, Mickey Morandini.
Mickey Moniak.
Was it not Moniak. Mickey Morandini?
No.
but think about it. If Senzel can just put up, you know, the numbers that he put up in the minor leagues when healthy, and I know that's the thing. Is he not a top five center fielder in baseball?
Yeah, I think that's right.
And that's a big if, but
it's not really fair to him. He's just kind of an interesting kind of player. Like he's kind of like more than the sum of his parts. Kind of if he's hitting like he did in the minors. Yeah. I don't know. He's fast, but he's not that fast. He's got power, but he certainly doesn't have like tape measure power. You know, like, you know what, right? I mean? So it's like, yeah, it's kind of at the end of the year, you look up and you're like, oh, darn, that guy hit, you know, .310 and slugged .500. Okay.
Yeah. He gets on base pretty well. He plays defense pretty well. He plays, you know, he hits for power fairly well. I mean, right. It's the sum of his parts. But again, it's all health. But
yep,
if he were to be healthy for a full season, and I don't think at this point we can presume that, but if he were, that could be, it's like acquiring, you know, an above average player, frankly, over last year's team, and that's a big deal. The Reds may have acquired another above-average player. We need to have the Jonathan India conversation, Chris Garber.
Yeah, we're about to split a crow sandwich, I think.
Are we going to do that after six games, though?
No, right? But I don't want to be the other side of it. Like, I don't want to be the guy arguing that, like, Jonathan India sucks. You know what I mean? Like, whoa, it's... I'm going to lean into him being the rookie of the year.
Have some context here, because I don't think it's fair. People are like having fun poking at me, you know, and maybe you as well, about being the low man on India. And I don't know that we were ever like, India sucks. You know, my whole deal was just, he was okay.
He hadn't done anything yet. I mean, truthfully.
Right.
He hasn't had, you know... He hasn't had any kind of season. I mean, what's he got? Career, he's got 17 home runs in the minor leagues.
Yeah, and yes, he was in some pitcher-dominant leagues, but he was still just – he was just okay. He was not – you talked about Senzel. Has he ever looked like a top-five pick?
Yeah, right. He wasn't – he was never, like, super young for his league. Like, there was never a time when you're like, well, here, you know.
Yeah, this big SEC
guy. On the prospect list. Right.
And so
– he had a great senior year, or junior year, I guess, at Florida.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody was raving over what he did at the Ketchup Factory last year that we couldn't see. And so I was like,
right,
okay.
Secret. Right, right. You're like, yeah, okay.
Right. Maybe. I got to wait and see. Well, I got to say, the spring was good. And the early returns this season, he's gotten a hit in every game so far. He's second in the league, I think, in RBIs. He has been, I mean, again, 1 week, but nothing short of spectacular at second base for the Reds, right?
And he looks it. I mean, that's kind of the thing. Like, and granted, you know, everybody looks pretty good when they're batting .476. But I mean, he's hitting the ball really hard, like all over the park. And you know, I always like guys that hit triples. That's cool, you know. So I don't know. I mean, I look at him and I'm like, I feel more like I did when I saw Jay Bruce.
Hmm. Interesting.
You know, not the same kind of player, but you know what I mean? Like, you're like, okay, this is a dynamic talent who can carry a team for a while.
Yeah. I mean, he doesn't look overmatched from day one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 24 years old, second base, he can handle. He's probably the best defensive infielder Reds have. I don't know, you know. I mean, maybe we're going to have to eat crow. I don't know that that's necessarily the description that I would give here. But I do have to say that what I said last time we talked about this was, he's got to show me something. Well, okay, early returns, but he has shown me something, man. He looks good. He looks like he belongs. And his hair's great. We know that. But can I just say this? This whole Red Sparrow thing they're trying to... Have you seen
what
this?
What is that? I saw something on that. I didn't want to even like try to learn about it, but since you brought it up, what the heck is it?
Well, you know, one night on the broadcast, they were trying to come up with a nickname or something. And the fact of the matter is, he does kind of look like Captain Jack Sparrow from the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Oh, I got you. Okay, okay.
You know, I can see that. He's got the little goatee, and, you know, he can't grow a full goatee because he's like 12 years old, and he's got the long hair. And I can see that, but Red Sparrow? That was like a movie with Jennifer Lawrence or something, I think. He looks nothing like Jennifer Lawrence. But
I not much. I'm all for goofy nicknames, though. So, like, Red Sparrow's pretty goofy.
I'm not buying it yet, but whatever. Maybe it sticks. I don't know. But, yeah, Jonathan India, fantastic. Now, he's not going to win the Rookie of the Year, though, and I'm going to tell you why. Tyler Stevenson's going to win it.
Think?
I mean, I think he's still qualified for the Rookie of the Year. And, you know,
yeah.
I mean, again, it's just three games, 11 plate appearances, but he has looked the part as well. You know, had a home run.
What do we think as far as, like, long term, who's gonna play the most, a catcher? Or is it going to be, you know, 81 and 81?
Yeah, you know, early on, I think Tucker Barnhart started four of the six games, which is, you know, he's a Gold Glove catcher, and I can kind of see that early in the year. I don't know, but I would not be surprised if it either evened out or by, you know, August, September, if Stevenson's bat has caused that you know, it to shift where he's getting more starts. I don't know. I would expect 81-81, somewhere in that neighborhood eventually, but at some point, it flips to the kid who can hit.
Although Barnhart's crushing it too, so I don't think it's going to be until maybe that stops happening too.
Yeah, maybe it won't. I hope it doesn't. But it, you know, we've watched Tucker Barnhart for a few years, and I like Tucker Barnhart. He's won two Gold Gloves, but yeah, it's going to be dependent on how well he can hit and keep up with the kid. Pitching. Let's talk about pitching quickly. Obviously, Castillo was not good on his opening day start, but great second start. That was the Castillo, and he was throwing a lot more fastballs. He threw a lot of sliders on opening day, and I don't know. He's working with that, I guess. But you know, the other starters in the quote unquote rotation right now, with Sonny Gray and Michael Lorenzen out, all looked pretty good. These are guys. I mean, Tyler Malley. We've talked about Tyler Malley, but Wade Miley, Jeff Hoffman, Jose De Leon. You know, you can't.
I don't know. I mean, I want to just look at that and be like, okay, it's a bunch of journeymen. But, you know, I mean, Jeff Hoffman was a top 10 draft pick. I mean, he's not a nobody.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's not a guy that you never heard of.
Well, maybe same with Jose De Leon.
Yeah, maybe they're the Pete Shoricks, and maybe it's Derek Johnson and the Kyle Bodhi system are just magic. And maybe, I don't know.
I know.
It doesn't matter how good you are.
We're squinting a little bit there, but I think there's something to it.
You know, I mean, that's the thing, too. Don't forget this. Like, to make the major leagues as a pitcher, you have to have the best arm that you or I have ever seen up close.
Right.
And if you can do a little bit more, make one of those guys 5% better, all of a sudden you got a legit pitcher.
That's a good point. And there's, you know, some... I mean, I think we agree that the Reds have something going on with Derek Johnson, Kyle Bodhi, the pitching, and Hoffman in particular was a guy that they identified as being somebody they thought they could help, a former, you know, top prospect. And he's 28 now, but, and again, we're talking about five innings on opening day, but he, you know, three hits, one run. He looked good. Jose De Leon, same thing. Five innings, three hits, a couple runs. Looked good. You know, Wade Miley's a guy that I thought everybody's kind of down on. And I thought, this guy's a perfect fifth starter, optimally. You know, he's had success in the past with Derek Johnson, and, you know, it's just about health with him, although he's a little older, but he has had success in the big leagues. So, I don't know. Go ahead.
You know, I mean, it's going to go in the bullpen. I mean, look, yeah. I mean, Carson Fulmer's another guy that pitched for Derek Johnson at Vanderbilt.
Right.
A big-time stud prospect who has been, I think, hurt, right? I mean, more or less.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, again, another guy that they've identified because, hey, maybe – you know, he has the – well, Cionel Perez is another guy. He was with Houston, you know, for 3 years. And, you know, okay off and on, but the golly, he looked amazing in the two games that he pitched this week for the Reds. You know, maybe not the results. The results were pretty good, 2 2/3 innings. But he was throwing hard. I mean, he just – you know, I don't know. The worst reliever the Reds have had, Amir Garrett.
Yeah, well, he's throwing BP right now. I mean, that ball that they hit the grand slam on last night was like middle.
Yeah. Let me – I was texting.
He'll be fine.
He will be. Yeah, no, I'm not worried about him. I don't think Amir Garrett is going to have a 22.5 ERA by the end of the season as it is now. But about Amir, tons of talent, but, you know, he's always had this kind of inconsistent streak where he can't throw strikes or he leaves a pitch up in the zone or something. He's always had this. He's never really been able to iron that out, right? Am I being unfair to Amir Garrett?
No, he's never put together a dominant season.
So in terms of being a closer?
I'm not, like, optimistic about it. This is where I am now. Like, I don't read everything and pay attention to the day-to-day as much. Is he the closer with capital letters, like, we're going to go down with the ship? Or is it like, well, Amir's going to be the guy that's going to get the ball at the end of the game probably, but you know, we're going to go with who's rested and we're going to go with the matchups, and like, what's the philosophy?
Well, I mean, there's been some comments from David Bell that maybe it's not really a closure by committee, but it's not necessarily settled. Garrett has the only save of the year, but they've not really had any save opportunities so far this year other than that one game. You know, I think when Lucas Sims gets back, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a little bit, it'll be between those two, I think, to who gets those. When I say get back, he's pitched, but when he gets back full speed, he's really not had much of an opportunity so far. I think it's between those two. I don't know. I'm not convinced. I think Garrett is a good pitcher who's a valuable member of the bullpen. I'm not quite sure he's the end of the game guy just yet, I guess is all I'm saying. I don't want to criticize the guy.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't even know that. Yeah, I mean, you need someone who's going to come in and strike people out. And you got that in Lucas Sims, and I think you got that in TJ Antone.
What about Rosell Iglesias?
I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Be nice to have that guy. All right. You want to answer some viewer mail questions?
Let's hear it.
Let's answer some of these. Before we begin, we need to give some shout-outs, some thank yous to some of our friends who have joined the family here over the last week or so. We've had it's getting to the point where we're not going to be able to answer all these patreon.com/redlegradio questions because they're just the group's growing too much. And I love that. Thank you all so much. Let's run through the thank yous for this week, as we always do. We got
to
give.
We're going to have to go to the money back guarantee.
That's right. We're going to assign these guys a place on the Red Leg Nation Beer League softball team. First is Kent Schroeder, and the fact of the matter is, I can't remember if I shouted Kent out last week, so we're doing it again because I love you, Kent. Kent Schroeder. What position does Kent Schroeder play on the Red Leg Nation Beer League softball team?
Well, I always think back of is it Bill Schroeder or Bill Schrader? I don't remember how you pronounce his name. The longtime brewer, utility man. I think he's one of their announcers now.
Okay, there you go. So
anyway, he played a few positions. He was a catcher and a first baseman and a DH. So I think that's where Kent's going.
Well, here's what I'm going to pronounce his name Schroeder here, and I'm going to name him the point guard on our.
Are you putting an umlaut on it?
I am. Yes, he's going to be the point guard on our off season basketball barnstorming basketball team. So there you go. Kent, thank you so much. Next is a friend of the podcast for a while now, but we need to shout him out here. Ellis Farson. Ellis Farson. Ellis Farson is a... I'm thinking Ellis Burks here. That's what I'm getting.
See, I'm thinking Ellis Valentine. Ooh. And that... was it Ellis Valentine or Warren Cromartie who had that baseball card where he had a football face mask attached to his baseball helmet?
I don't know, but you just mentioned Ellis Valentine and Warren Cromartie. Well, on this podcast, it's amazing. I don't remember. Hey, how's Rozell Iglesias done so far this season? By the way,
Rozell's had a rough start. He's pitched in four games, four innings, five runs, four of them earned.
Oh, so maybe I need to shut up about Rozell Iglesias.
He's ruining Mike Trout.
All right, Ellis Farson is our center fielder, and he's wearing a football, like, you know, what's that called there? The football
face mask.
The face mask. Okay, over his batting helmet, but he's not afraid to take a pitch to the noggin like Jonathan India did this week. Ellis, thank you so much for joining us. Next, thanks goes to Richard Stallard. Now, Richard Stallard. I've actually known Richard Stallard for many years now. Big Reds fan. Always enjoyed talking Reds with him, and glad he's joined our family here. Richard, when you hear the name Richard Stallard, where do you put him?
Bullpen.
Bullpen?
Mm-hmm.
I want to put him, we won't get into what I know about Richard, but I want to say that he's our head of ballpark security, because I would trust him with that.
All right,
but let's say bullpen. He's kind of a flamethrower, like a big guy who throws hard, comes in, and one inning is his max. Richard, thank you so much for joining us, buddy. I hope I get to see you again soon. Really appreciate you joining the family. The last one is Rob Chapman. Now you hear the name Chapman, I know where you're going to go, but
well, Rob Chapman. There's a lot of You could go, obviously, Aroldis Chapman, but you also have Ray Chapman.
Well, you got Rob Murphy, if you go with his first name. Another Reds reliever.
That's true.
So that's why I lean with reliever for Rob Chapman. I got the Rob Murphy, Aroldis Chapman.
I think that's
combo.
Good. I think that's good. Bring him in.
We'll bring him in. He's a lefty. Rob Murphy was a lefty, right?
I'm tapping my left elbow right now.
You're bringing him in for the... Oh, he's going to pitch tonight.
Yeah, it's right now. He's coming in to finish the podcast.
All right. Excellent. Rob, thank you so much for joining us. Always appreciate it. You too can join the family at the Red Leg Nation Radio Patreon site, patreon.com/redlegradio. Let's try to run through as many of these questions. And I'm just going to tell you guys ahead of time, we're not going to get through all these questions because it's been a great week and we've had fun talking about it. And there's too many of you now. It's just one of the benefits of being, quote unquote, benefits of being part of the family is that you get priority on your questions. And you guys are going to get priority, but... not all of you, maybe. Joe Farsing.
Can't put everybody in the front of the line.
We can't put everybody. Joe Farsing asks, homer at the bat, but with current MLB players, who you got? Joe knows that when you and I are on here together, that Simpson's question is always going to go well, right?
On it. Yes, exactly.
All right. So quickly, if we can, current MLB players for around the for homer at the bat.
All right. Altuve.
At pitcher.
Oh, no, he's not a pitcher.
Oh. I don't watch the American League.
Yeah. Jose Altuve at second base, I think.
Okay, well, let me pick one. Give me Trout in center field.
Okay, Trout in center field.
That's Mike Trout.
Jeter at shortstop.
Wait, what?
Wait. Okay, never mind.
No,
Derek Jeter, not. No. Not. Mark Grzelcyk. I don't know if you remember this, but there was some sort of Saturday Night Live skit in the mid 1990s, late 1990s, where a bunch of what was it? There was a bunch of Major League Baseball players like piled out of a room or something like that. I don't remember what exact? Somebody's like dreaming about baseball, and Mark Grzelonik was in it.
This is not true. Are you seriously telling me that Mark Grzelonik was on Simpsons?
No, he was on the Saturday Night Live.
Oh, that's Saturday Night Live. Yes. Okay, now I'm confused.
Scott Rolen.
Scott Rolen was on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, it was a bunch of Cardinals and Expos.
Mark Grzelonik.
And I can't remember like exactly what it was, but like Chris Kattan was like dreaming about he was like a kid and he was dreaming about these baseball players like showing up in his room in the middle of the night.
The worst Saturday Night Live cast member like, ever, Chris Kattan.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. But there was like Mark Grzelonik in uniform, like came out of like a closet in Chris Kattan's bedroom and like just like I think they went to like look for like Kattan's mom or something. Like it was a very bizarre thing. Well, Todd Zeal, I think, was involved.
I didn't even go look for this. That's fantastic. It wasn't the Colonel Angus skit, was it?
No. It was not about John, the Reds' former reliever.
John Colonel Angus.
All right. So we got a center fielder and a second baseman.
Okay. Hold on. Quickly, though, my favorite trivia question. Who is the only Cincinnati Red ever to host Saturday Night Live? One Cincinnati Reds player has hosted Saturday Night Live. Who is it?
Ken Griffey Jr.?
Not true. Deion Sanders.
Ah!
Neon Deion. So there you go.
That's great. All right.
Quickly, let's run through this.
Yeah, so...
You're next. I gave you Mike Trout.
Who is the Steve Sachs of 2021? I'm going to say it's Anthony Rizzo.
Anthony Rizzo. Okay. So we got him at first base, I guess. Unless we're going to put him in second like Steve Sachs. He would probably throw balls away. I'm going to say, who else was in that? Mike Socia. You know what? I think Tucker Barnhart might be the Mike Socia.
Why not? He's just as good. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. Right?
Yep.
Who else was in that?
The Wade Boggs, Daryl Strawberry, Mattingly, of course.
Daryl. Nobody has a sideburn, so there's not really a Mattingly comparison.
I think Arenado might be in it.
Okay, we'll get Nolan Arenado. Roger Clemens.
Trevor Bauer.
Trevor Bauer. I just got a notification, by the way, about Trevor Bauer.
Apparently he's under investigation.
Under investigation for... baseballs thrown by Bauer versus the A's had markings and were sticky and sent to the league for inspection. We narrowly avoided that.
His mouth is going to get him in more trouble. All right. we need to have a third. We got a third base. We need a shortstop and two more outfielders.
No, really, we just need to decide who's going to drink the tonic and get gigantism. And then we can move on.
Dansby Swanson.
Oh, boy, I love that episode. All right, we got to move. Andrew Scott Wills.
All right.
Can we just talk about the offense in 2020 compared to now? Well, we already did that.
It's better.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to say. Scott or Webker, with what we've seen from the lefty bat of Naquin so far, do you try to trade off Shogo if Naquin can stay hot? Hate to see that for Shogo, but Naquin has similar defense and speed with a cheaper contract and a better bat for now. I don't know. I don't know that either of those are, but we know that either of those are one's better than the other, right?
I can't imagine like the trade market for either one of those guys. Truthfully,
actually, right now you might be able to get somebody to get Naquin. This second,
are the people that dumb? They're like six games in.
No, the Reds are not as dumb as they used to be. So there's no teams that are that dumb. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting what happens. When Shogo is ready to come back, because they're going to have to make a decision. Naquin or Aquino, are either of those guys going to clear waivers and maybe the Reds get to keep them around? Maybe not. Okay, thanks for the question, Skyler. Mike Perry has the next one. A lot of conversation has been deservedly focused on the 2021 offense, but the pitching is encouraging too. Which pitching performance impressed you the most? And who do you think has moved out of the rotation when Sonny Gray comes back? Which one of those other guys have impressed you the most? Chris, I think I'd have to say
Hoffman.
You think Hoffman? Yeah, maybe compare relative to what we were expecting.
Right, relative to, right? I think Wade Miley pitched a better game, but I also think Wade Miley's 34 and we know who he is. So I'm not expecting Wade Miley to have like a breakout year.
Right. Good point.
So whatever that means, I don't know.
Yeah, but Hoffman.
And De Leon's probably the guy who's put out.
As of now, I think I'd say Jose De Leon, but he will make a fine addition to the bullpen, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, I think I guess in the context that you're giving it, I'll go with Hoffman as well. Though, man, I was really happy to see Wade Miley pitch like the Wade Miley we've seen at times. Well, we've never seen him in Cincinnati, but in his career,
you liked the fact that he was compared to Tom Browning too.
Ooh, TB, my man, TB. Yes, I did like that.
I love how fast he works and just kind of goes at guys. He is fun to watch when he's not being terrible.
You know, I love baseball, and I like watching baseball all day and all night. But, man, a guy that works fast, it makes the game more fun to watch. I don't know.
I just like the proportion of baseball to my time to be high.
Exactly. Thank you. Yes. Kyle Kapler asks a question here. What type of investigation would Special Agent Deck McGuire handle? Deck McGuire? What? This is like from 4 years ago. Why is Kyle bringing us a Deck McGuire question? I'm ignoring that.
Deck McGuire is our fool.
Oh, my goodness. Come on. It's a great Reds team. We don't need to talk about former garbage. Anyway.
Postage stamp fraud.
There you go. Nathan Connor, Chad, if the Reds keep hitting like this and you still have the willpower to maintain your Bob Castellini protest, I will be impressed. But listen, the team's success is not tied to your whereabouts, so nobody will judge you if you cave in, walk up to the box office, and slam your money on the counter like Cosmo Kramer in the contest. I'm out! That's right, I'm out of the contest. I'm not spending money on the Reds this year. I'm loving what's going on. I love them. I'll keep doing it. But I'm not spending money. Are you with me on this boycott, Chris Garber?
I was hoping to get a chance to talk about this. So I don't know. I mean, here's the thing. Like I believe everything we said and we talked about. I am still not a fan of the Reds ownership, and I am still not inclined to support them. At the same time, if I change my mind, I don't care if people on Twitter say Garber changed his mind.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if that's not going to stop me, if my kid wants to go to a game and I decide to take him, I'm going to go. And if people want to say something about it, that's cool too. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, they haven't changed. The players are playing well.
Right. Yeah, you know, I get that. And yeah, you should. You should. Again, this protest thing, this boycott, I've not been encouraging anyone else to do it. It's just me. I'm not going to do it. But I think poorly of anyone that does want to go to the ballpark. Because frankly, a good Great American Ballpark, even when the Reds were bad, the Great American Ballpark's a fun place to hang out and watch a game. I'm going to watch the Reds this year. I don't know where it's going to be necessarily. We've been looking at dates to go down and watch them in Atlanta. We're maybe planning a trip this summer across the country, and I'm trying to plan it around maybe where I can see the Reds on the road, whether that's Colorado or you know, wherever. I don't know.
Petco Park.
Yeah, right. I mean, seriously, we're trying to figure that out. So I'm going to watch the Reds this year. I love the Reds. I talk about the Reds all the time, but yeah, I'm not going to Great American Ballpark this season. Again, unless my son says, Dad, I really want to go to Great American Ballpark. Okay, that's the one situation where I'm probably like, well, you know what? I like going to the ballgame with my son. So we'll go to other ballgames at other parks, but if he really wants to go to Great American Ballpark. And I'll say this, if they make the World Series, I'm going to go to the World Series. Is that bad? Should I? Am I?
No, not at all. I think this is an entertainment product for
exactly.
us to consume at our pleasure. Like, there's absolutely no rules about this. If you want to go to a game, go. If you want to go to a game and be unhappy about it, go. If you don't want to go to a game, don't. If you want to skip the whole season and go to the playoffs, do it. however you like it.
That's exactly what I've been saying. Like, that's why I try to say this is me doing my little protest thing. But I'm not encouraging. If you want to go to a game, go to a game. I don't think bad about you if you do. I'm not asking you to join me on this. Yeah, it's if you get joy out of going to the stadium, then go.
I don't even care if you get joy out of judging you and me for this. Right. If that gets you off, you know, calling us boomers or something, good. Whatever makes you happy. I'm for it.
I am as well. Richard Stallard kind of has a similar question that we've already answered, but I'm going to go ahead and read it anyway because I appreciate Richard joining us. Love this as long as we can. All flame is fleeting in this world. If this keeps up, will you be taking in a few games? Will that become an option? No, but I do appreciate the fact that he, Richard Stallard, also commented with the James Earl Jones speech from Field of Dreams. You got to love baseball, you know.
Chad will come.
Right. By the way, if you join us at Patreon, our this month's Patreon exclusive podcast was me and my guy Joe Farsing. We were talking about baseball movies. We had a long discussion about Field of Dreams. So you can get access to that. Jerry Seduth, who I just mispronounced his name again. I know you've told me 100 times. Between Naquin and India, who do you think will be better able to consistently produce over the course of a season? I mean, it's India, right? It's
got to be yeah, India. Yeah. I mean, definitely over the course of two seasons, but I think India.
Yeah. Yeah, it's India. And if India, you know, oh, man, I really hope he does well. I really hope that in October people are like smacking me around and you around about, you all hated India. Because we never hated India, but that's what happens on Twitter. Hyperbole, but I hope he's good. Joey Gaditza, hey, guys, cheers to the Reds' early success. So many storylines to choose, but of them, is there one that may not stand out as much as the rest, but still an important factor? I say Miley Stewart was under the radar, huge for this team. I think Miley Stewart was bigger than Hoffman's, just because Miley's a guy that once everybody's healthy, Miley's going to be in that rotation. And if he can be Miley, that's big for this rotation. So I think I agree with Joey. Any thoughts?
My brain is empty.
Thank you. All right, let's see. We got a. Good grief. This is ridiculous. We're having way too much fun. Let's see if we can find a. Charles Zollers asks, should I go ahead and get a tattoo of the 2021 Reds World Series champs? Yes.
I think you should get a tattoo of Jeff Hoffman.
You need to get a tattoo of Jeff Hoffman on your buttocks. And.
Save the other side for what, to see what happens with the next 100. Well, I mean, like the next six games. That's this week's tattoo.
Right, exactly. We're going to go
six. It could be somebody else.
New tattoo every six games. Oh, Merson. John Majewski, quickly. Midseason, Reds first play, six games up on the Cubs. After failing to get an extension, the Astros make it known they're willing to trade shortstop Carlos Correa. As the Reds, what would you be willing to give up for a half-season rental of an all-star shortstop? Carlos Correa. Good player.
I'd trade Shed Long for him.
What about Tyler Trammell? Would you add him in?
Taylor Trammell. I would trade Josiah. What was that guy's name?
Gray.
Josiah Gray.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do they have anything to trade anymore? I mean, it's like Hunter Green and that's it, right?
Yeah. I'm
Hunter
not sure.
Hunter Green and a bunch of like baseballs.
I'm not sure they've got it.
I don't think I'd trade Hunter Green for him.
No, I would not trade Hunter Green for him. Yeah. Nick Lodolo. Would you trade Nick Lodolo for him?
Yes.
Really? I'm not sure I would.
Carlos Correa? Pretty good.
Yeah, but for 3 months of Carlos Correa? Mm. Well, in this scenario, John's scenario, where the Reds are in first place, six games up on the Cubs.
I probably wouldn't do anything at that point because who cares, right? There's like 16 teams make the playoffs and everything.
Not this year, they don't.
Oh.
Have you gotten confused?
Well, still, like, there's like six, right?
There's a bunch. Yeah, a bunch make it. So, yeah, you figure the Reds can at least get a wild card. I don't know. The Reds will blow it. All right, let's see. What else we got to do? We got to get out. Too many questions. Rob Chapman, love your question. Not going to be able to answer this week. Chuck Nichols, thank you, buddy. TV crew's doing an excellent job as part of his. I agree. Can we comment on the TV crew? Well, I agree and I disagree. I talked about this with Jason last week. Barry Larkin's gotten better, but he was pretty...
That opening day was rough.
It was brutal. It was brutal.
Yeah.
Back when I played. But he's gotten better. I do have to concede. But John Sadek's good.
He is, isn't he? Yeah. I mean, part of it, look, I mean... The prior play-by-play man, I mean, honestly, for the last 20 years, the play-by-play has been imperfect. We love George Grand, and George Grand looks very, very good in retrospect after he was replaced. But I mean, John's a legit, solid, top level pro play by play man.
Yeah, I mean, he's a pro, absolutely.
With no bullcrap.
But you know what else that I like about John Sadak is this. You know, first of all, we had what was it that happened this week? There was like a call overturned in the Reds' favor. He got like really excited, which, you know, that's whatever. That's funny. But also, man, that guy, I mean, when was he hired? 2 months ago?
Late January, maybe.
This guy has done his homework about Reds' history, about the current team. He is so prepared for every game. I mean, we talk about a pro's pro, but I mean, it really stands out, and I've been impressed. And I'm not you've not heard me on this podcast criticize broadcasters that much. I just whatever, they're broadcasters, but I gotta say, early returns, right? Early returns are good.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's not gonna change. I mean, he's prepared, he's focused, he likes baseball. He more or less seems to like the Cincinnati Reds, or is at least excited to be around them. He's not telling you about the other teams he's worked for. He's not bitching about why every player stinks. I mean, it's a big difference from some other broadcasters.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's I don't know. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it. That's all we'll say. Now, I guess that's probably where we need to stop it. And I'm sorry for the rest of you that asked questions. Rob Chapman, Chuck Nichols, Mark Hyden, Kevin Lowe, Jeff Uecker, Risto Neely, and Joe Farson, your last question really is just insensitive to me. I appreciate you all, but this has been a wild week. It's been a fun week. I hope you all enjoyed the podcast. Chris, I mean, you didn't really answer my question earlier in the podcast. Can you remember a week that was better?
Yes.
Stop.
October 1990.
Stop telling the truth on this podcast, Chris Garber.
This is good. This is good.
No, it's fun. I mean, you know, how long it'll last, who knows, but it's fun. And that's, again, you talk about entertainment product. This was a good entertainment product this week.
That's right. We'll pick up those questions in the future. They're probably still current.
Exactly. All right, you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get to find podcasts. We're there. Subscribe, leave us a rating and review if you want. Tell your friends about us. That's the best way to grow the community. Listen, you know, the community on the Patreon, patreon.com/redlegradio, keeps growing, and it's a lot of fun. The Slack channel is amazing. Just it's like an alternative Twitter without morons. I don't know. Come join us if you want. If you don't, whatever. We're still going to give you this podcast, and we're going to have fun doing it. Chris, man, any final thoughts for us?
No, I'm good. You guys will always get me for free, and you get higher quality guests on the premium show. So,
yeah, you're just not quite up to the level yet, Chris. But keep working.
I'm not Patreon caliber. I get it.
Oh mercy, for Chris Garber and Mark Grudzelonic. This is Chad Dotson saying so long, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Red Leg Nation Radio from RedLegNation.com. Subscribe to Red Leg Nation Radio on iTunes or through your favorite podcast app. And join us for discussion of all things Reds at RedLegNation.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.